Our 30th president, Calvin Coolidge, once said, if good men don't hold office, bad men will. What an incredible quote. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And right now, we're going to talk with Peter Breen, who's been involved in Illinois politics and temporarily has taken a reprieve from that. And it's my understanding he's going to get involved again in Illinois politics, Lord willing and voters willing. Peter, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, great to be with you, Jerry.
Sure. And you used to be a state representative in Illinois, and then unfortunately you lost your seat in a recent year, and then after the other side won, they passed through some incredibly pro-abortion laws, some of the worst in the country, I would say.
Absolutely. And what happened, I lost my election like many other suburban legislators did during the great blue wave of 2018. I didn't plan on coming back. We've got two young kiddos, a three-year-old and a one-year-old little boys, and got a national law practice for the Thomas More Society. So I had plenty of things to do. But then I was getting calls from legislators talking about just this orgy of spending and taxing and just crazy liberal social policies that were being put through the Illinois General Assembly. And, they're consulting me to figure out, hey, how do we frame this argument? How do we deal with this? And Peter, can you believe this? And so that did cause me, even though I was, I've been all over the place and been very busy, I started to look again at what was going on. And it's just, it just makes you sick.
Mm. Yeah, for those not familiar with that law, how is it different, let's say, from what New York passed or what Virginia was proposing to pass?
Right. And what the General Assembly did, when we had a new governor who came in, so the Blue Wave brought in a Democratic governor in Illinois, and he had promised on the way in, I'm going to make Illinois the most progressive state in the country on abortion. That's code for the most liberal, however you want to put it. The way I had said it was this guy promised on the way in to turn Illinois into the abortion capital of the country.
Wow.
And so this bill, they call it the Reproductive Health Act. And really, it has nothing to do with the health of women or in any sort of their safety, much less as to their viable unborn babies. So this is the most broad, sweeping abortion bill in the country. It was put into effect to allow third trimester abortions in Illinois. So these are all viable babies, to remove the protections where we had you had to document reasons for those abortions. You had to have a second physician present. So if the child was born alive, they would get medical attention. All of that wiped away. They wiped away the health and safety licensing requirements of Illinois abortion clinics. So there's that was outrageous. And they're requiring small businesses to cover, and that includes small churches and other nonprofits who have faith, requiring them to cover elective abortions in their health insurance plans.
Even churches?
Among other things. Those are the worst three, Jerry.
Yeah. So but even churches? I mean, there's no religious exemption or something?
No. And what happens, some churches are under they're exempt from state regulation, thank goodness, because otherwise you'd have every church in the state. But all of the churches that are a little smaller, so you get your kind of small to mid-sized or even larger evangelical churches, some of our Lutheran churches, some of our Southern Baptist churches and other Baptists, a variety of folks are getting hit with that. So if you're not big enough to have your own self-insured plan or what have you, in other words, most mid-sized to small ministries, certainly your pregnancy centers and others, everyone's getting swept into this, much less the small business people, these people of faith that are the bedrock of our community, of our church communities as well. They're being forced to cover elective abortions, so to pay for elective abortions as part of their insurance plans.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I understand, and let me go ahead and timestamp this interview. I always work ahead, so this is being recorded on September 30, and I understand that tomorrow you're on your way to San Francisco to court on behalf of David DeLeiden. Tell us about that. And by the way, for those not familiar with David DeLeiden, tell us about that as well.
And so David DeLeiden was the brave young man who did those undercover videos showing how Planned Parenthood and others in the abortion industry were making money off of the fetal parts and organs of aborted babies. I mean, really disgusting stuff. And so instead of admitting to it, which is, that Planned Parenthood decided to sue him, And so they have brought this racketeering lawsuit in San Francisco. So we begin a federal trial tomorrow. We travel out there, and then we're going to be well into it for pretty much till Thanksgiving. And so they want to bankrupt and teach David and anyone else who might want to expose them a lesson. You'll get an injunction against David ever doing undercover work again. It's just absolutely outrageous stuff. And you know, we in America have a tradition of undercover journalism. We normally are quite, you know, we're thankful for undercover journalists when they uncover wrongdoing. But with David, they're throwing the book at him. So they've brought a civil case. We've got criminal charges we're fighting off. So it's been a great struggle. But again, we're very confident at the end of the day we're going to be successful.
I understand there's like millions and millions of dollars at stake in this lawsuit. I mean, he's being sued for so much money. I don't even know how somebody could even earn that kind of money, you know, unless you're a millionaire or Jeff Bezos or something.
Well, their aim is to get such a large damage judgment, it forces bankruptcy on everybody. So the Center for Medical Progress have to go bankrupt. You know, that's the organization David started. But David would go bankrupt. All of his fellow investigators, you know, these poor folks who just, you know, just wanted to help out and just wanted to expose some wrongdoing by Planned Parenthood, that they would all be bankrupted as if they were part of, we call it a racket. You know, that's a term from organized crime. So that's how they want to tarnish David,
yeah,
as if he was a mafia boss instead of a pro-life hero, which is what he truly is.
Yes. I understand that there was somebody in the, like, the Save the Animals type camp that did some sort of undercover video that was illegal by California standards, or maybe it wasn't, but it was comparable to David DeLayden's, only it was, you know, look at these poor goats being mistreated or whatever it was, you know, the animals that were being harmed. And, you know, if they can get through with it, and, you know, I guess maybe next time David's got to just choose a politically correct theme and then everything will be all right.
And look, I'll tell you, every couple of weeks on Los Angeles television, there's a guy named David Goldstein that does another undercover investigation. And they are all under more what you would consider private circumstances than what David did. His filming was of dinner meetings in open public restaurants with lots of folks around, exhibit halls in massive trade shows of the abortion industry. None of it was in any way private. And in fact, you referred to it, Kamala Harris lauded an animal rights group that had done taping in what was certainly a more private setting. And instead of charging them criminally, yeah, she had a press conference with them and talked about how wonderful they were. And so this was, I mean, total hypocrisy. Planned Parenthood really does own the political structure in the state of California, as they do in many, many places, you know, in many blue states, whether it's Illinois or otherwise. And so it's something for people of faith and just people of good conscience to say, hey, do I really want large abortion providers, you know, controlling my state politics? And so that's something you've got to address, you know, address at the electoral level,
yeah,
very carefully.
You know, going back to your own particular election and your decision to run again and so forth, you mentioned the blue wave. I remember at the time of the election of 2018, I remember in different spots you would see, yeah, there was a blue wave, and in other spots it wasn't as dire as they were predicting. Obviously, good people like you lost out, but comment on that, if you would, the overall picture in the country.
Sure, and you saw this in the suburban areas across the country. There was a reaction, and it was a reaction more to the personality of the president. And I know, I mean, look, I have some friends say, don't say anything about the president. I can only tell you what I'm seeing in the poll numbers and what I felt talking to folks at the door. I would talk to people who said, Peter, I don't have a problem with you, but because of Trump, I'm not going to vote for any Republicans. And
wow,
obviously, that's normally not the way we do business in this country. Normally, people say, hey, you know, maybe you're a strong Republican or strong Democrat, but you don't get attached to a particular person. And particularly if you don't like one particular politician, you don't then take it out on everyone else.
Yeah.
And so that happened in 2018, though. And so that meant in suburban areas, you had a blue wave. In certain other areas that were more friendly to the president, you actually had a little bit of a red bump. Even, you know, here in Illinois, everything downstate, the Republicans did very well. But everything in the suburbs, the Democrats performed probably 10 points better than they should have. So I lost my election with 47%. I should have had 57%. In a normal election year, that's what I would have had. And that happened across the suburbs, across the country.
What do you think that portends for 2020 in terms of Donald Trump?
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, if for folks that don't like the president, you've got him on the ballot and you actually vote against him. So kind of like in 2016, my legislative district went very strongly against the president, but they went fine for me. You know, I won my race by 13 points. And so when I look at it that way, well, if you have some discontent with the president, then you can express it. But I am seeing in the polling that some folks that were really unhappy with the president are now merely kind of in the middle, or not quite as unhappy. It's, you know, not to be too colloquial, but it's almost like if they had a burning hatred for the president in 2018, you're seeing that subside to some extent. And you know, without that real nasty burning hatred, you're not going to then take whatever you feel about President Trump and put it against others who, you know, who are not him. And again, we've got this tradition in our country, particularly in the suburbs, where folks split their tickets. And so there's no reason why folks wouldn't return to that as we move forward into 2020 and beyond.
As far as abortion is concerned, isn't abortion primarily a winning issue for those who stand for life but are also consistent about it? I mean, generally, abortion, and by the way, people perceive that, oh, you're pro-life, you're going to lose. But I don't think that's true. In fact, I think, you comment, sir.
Well, the polling shows us otherwise, and just talking to folks shows us otherwise. And it really, what we've got to do is make sure we make it practical, because the other side is going to say, oh, you want to ban abortion and you do this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting there going, well, for heaven's sakes, you know, that I've never filed a bill to do that. And I mean, do you even think that that's a possibility under the current circumstances? You know, what, and particularly in a blue state, I mean, practically in a blue state, what you're looking at is, are we going to allow third trimester abortions? Are we going to tell parents before we take their minor daughters for abortions?
Wow.
You know, these are the radical proposals that that folks like my opponent and others on the left want to do. They want to wipe away health and safety licensing, which they've done here in Illinois.
Wow.
That doesn't make any sense. And certainly for suburban voters, even ones that would call themselves pro-choice, they're not in favor of abortions on third trimester babies. I mean, they're not in favor of any of this sort of stuff. So if we can frame the debate properly and talk about what the actual votes look like, well, then we can really, I think we can make great headway in these elections.
We have about a minute left. The health laws that you're referring to, I remember back maybe 30 years ago, I think it was the Chicago Sun-Times, did a whole series of exposés of these abortion clinics that were so bad, but they were very dangerous for the women getting abortions, and that's why some of those laws were passed.
Absolutely. Every 10 years or so, we have another expose of dirty abortion clinic practices. Here in Illinois, even more recently, after the Gosnell tragedy in Philadelphia,
yes,
they had inspections of our abortion clinics for the first time in years. The Rockford Clinic was shut down. They were reusing surgical instruments woman to woman without sterilizing them. We had clinics across Chicagoland shut down or fined. And so that's the history in Illinois. Dirty abortion clinic practices. You saw most recently we had this guy who had 2,200 fetuses in his garage. And you know, without these health and safety licensing requirements, how are we going to address these things going forward? Because now they've just covered over the ability of any of the governments to inspect. So it's like a big blanket over the state's abortion clinic practice. I like to say, you know, our veterinary clinics are more heavily regulated than our abortion clinics in the state of Illinois.
Wow, that's amazing. And by the way, the man you mentioned with the garage, he's out of Indiana, correct?
Well, here's the thing. He was doing abortions in Indiana, but he lives in Illinois. So he was bringing these fetal remains back to Illinois, so violation of all sorts of laws. But in Indiana, they took his license away.
Oh, so the garage, though, was in Illinois. Yeah.
Right. He lived in Illinois, did abortions in Indiana. But without these health and safety licensing requirements, how are we going to be able to inspect to find the next one of these guys? And how are we going to find when, you know, the Rockford Clinic was reusing surgical instruments? You have no mechanism to do it anymore.
Wow. Peter Breen, thanks so much for joining us. ThomasMoreSociety.org for more information. Thanks, Peter. All the best to you.
Hey, thank you, Jerry.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.